All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Thursday on The Usual Suspects, and as you might imagine, all of us are here, and so hopefully all are you are too. It's what? Barry, Nick, and Joel. Why do you keep doing that?
Do what?
You want to annoy me in the first segment, right as it starts.
Well, you're like, and hopefully all are, and you will have to beer here to have.
You know what today is, Barry?
Kiss my ass Thursday.
National Croissant Day.
We're going to start by throwing shots at the poor producer.
Poor? Why are you the poor producer?
Incredible hours today. Like, you know, like if I was in construction, you know?
You know what's funny?
Long shifts.
First of all, it is natural croissant day. It's natural croissant day.
Boy, you're instead of national it early, croissant aren't we? Day.
I was listening on the way in.
Is it natural croissant like an organic croissant?
It's natural it's croissant organic. Or it's
farm
national
grown?
Croissant.
Okay. I like it.
With or without say that mozzarella.
Ever.
Mozzarella.
You want some mozzarella? No,
I've corrected mozzarella.
Do you want some mozzarella on your pizza? That was so funny.
My whiff has also told me that
don't play the
it's
usual
either
suspects.
Or with comparable or comparable.
Your who?
My wife, my whiff.
Okay, well, we're not going to argue
well,
with
well, we've established that.
No, you don't.
She's. Joel thinks.
She's very overgenerous she's with what she does for dogs. That's what Joel thinks.
Gets you in trouble.
So I don't even know where I was going.
I did go home yesterday and I was like, babe. Joel was making fun of Oliver. He said that he meows with a lisp. And she was like, why did he do that? I was like, that's not important.
And she was genuinely upset, wasn't she?
I was like, you just need to know that he thinks Oliver plays for the other team. She was like, why would he think that? I was like, I don't know.
Oh, my God. Because you said you have a gay cat.
I left all that out. What the hell?
Of course,
I left
you did.
All that out. I didn't. Yeah, I didn't bother to tell her that I'm the one that put it out there, that his name would.
So I love the fact that I'm listening to Charles, and I was wondering who was producing, and then I heard the sultry bass tones of Nick Sciarra, and then I had to hear Charlie, who was on a rant with Bob about Bob Nightingale's phone and how it sounded, and then he was like, Nick. I know you're doing a lot of stuff in there. Were you listening part of the way? Kind of? Did you hear any of this? Or were you not even listening at all? And I was like, oh my God, it's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday with Nick. He's always got much bigger business. And then Nick came in and goes, no. And he didn't want to burst his bubble. So he was like, I caught it.
Well, I said I've heard worse. Is what I said. Yeah. He asked me to grade the quality of his phone, which was hot garbage. Bob Nightingale's phone was just hot garbage.
Was that during an interview?
Yeah, we scheduled Bob Nightingale, who's the guy who was one of, I guess, two reporters that broke the news regarding Dusty Baker.
He's the
correct?
Biggest one from USA Today. Okay. Yes.
Was it Sarah Barshot bad?
No, it was worse.
What?
It was,
oh,
honestly.
Oh, boy.
Really?
Because it was just like this the whole time. And he just sounded very muffled. And
like he was sitting on it, just talking through his butt.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, he not had some good stuff.
Well, and he's the guy that broke it and doing further investigation on it. Evidently, he's been friends with Dusty Baker and had a relationship with him for years. But he was the guy that said he started out by writing a column saying this is who the Astros should pick and then came out after that and said this is who the Astros are going to pick.
It's a little lame if your best friend is Dusty Baker or you're good friends with him. So you write a whole article about why the Astros should pick him. To me, I don't know if he disclosed it in the article. I didn't read the article because I don't read
that
guy.
Not that I saw.
But I feel like if you're going to do that, you should have to be like, hey, full disclosure, Dusty Baker and I are good friends. But I'm going to tell you why from a baseball perspective this makes sense. But otherwise, when you find out that they're really good friends, comes across as kind of lame.
Yeah, we were talking about it the other day about how people in the media like use positioning.
Yeah.
And that's positioning. And the other thing is, to your point about how it's done the right way, NBC, the Today Show, will do a feature on a movie coming out and how it looks great and everything, and then say, full disclosure, NBC's parent company, NBC Universal, is either the executive producer or the motion picture studio where this was, you know.
ABC does a pretty good job of that, by the Disney. Way. So, you know, if ABC runs a story about an ESPN anchor or whatever, they'll be like, full disclosure, ESPN is owned by ABC's parent company, Disney.
Yep.
So they put it out there. I just kind of feel like, hey, just FYI, I'm friends with Dusty Baker before you read this article. That way you can read it with the right mindset. That's all.
And again, Nick, I'm not done with you. Sympathize the fact that you had you're working double duty today.
I don't care at all. He is sitting on his ass sucking coffee. Sitting on his ass drinking coffee. How hard is it? It's not hard.
No, funny you should say it that way, Barry.
Well,
funny you should position it
I'm
that way.
I'm not saying that what we do is hard either, so don't even start with me.
No.
Oh.
You just said how hard is it?
I didn't mean to do that. Never mind. Y'all didn't hear that. No. What we do is very difficult.
It is. You said how hard is it? And the thing, and that brings us to the fact that I realize Nick has been up a long time. And he's been working on now his second show of the day. But I open up Twitter this morning to start working on the document. And all I see is a tweet from Nick that says, I'll get it up.
Oh, I knew you were going to. Right when I sent that
tweet.
He tweeted,
I'll get it up. Nothing around it. Nothing anywhere else.
More context, sir.
I'll get it up.
More context.
So obviously then when I look at it and I realize that all texting, no tweeting, said. He tweeted and said, can I get the third hour of the show yesterday up?
I need to do that.
So
and you haven't done that yet?
Yeah, I need to do that now.
What's your priority here?
No, listen. See, I got.
Charlie, you're the Blitz.
I just need you to answer the question.
Okay, the suspects.
Okay.
It's Charlie, and then it's
the Blitz.
That's
why I love you.
And then it's us.
No, that's not his. Is that?
Oh, it's the Blitz, then Charlie, then us.
That's not true. Vegas days, yeah, then it's the Blitz, then you, then.
Well, at least we're second.
We're moving up the totem pole.
Way to go, Barry. I'll take it.
To improve my pronunciation of words and my vocabulary, I've decided to pick one word from Charlie's show each day.
I love it.
Okay.
To be the word of the day on The Usual Suspects.
So funny. Right. What's today's word that he used?
Assuage.
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 What does that mean?
Can you spell it?
A-S-S-U-A-G-E.
Can you use it in a sentence?
I feel like
I'm at the National Spelling Bee.
Spell it again. A-S-S.
U-A-G.
Using it in a sentence gives it away.
Okay.
You can't use it in a sentence.
That's part of the spelling bee. That's how they do it.
No, that's not a spelling competition.
If you use it in a sentence, that gives away the definition.
I could give you a sentence.
Why don't you shut your mouth and let me get an advantage here? What the hell's wrong with you?
I think it means persuade.
To soothe. The letter assuage the fears of most members. To soothe or to make something unpleasant and a little less unpleasant. That's what it means. And I did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
Until he interviewed Bob Nightingale.
Nightingale? Who used it?
Charlie, of course.
Oh, okay.
So today's word of the day is assuage. I'm going to listen to Charlie's program each and every day because I'm going to learn.
You don't need a calendar. You don't need a word of the day calendar. You just need to listen to Charlie Polillo every day.
That's it.
Suspects, if you've been driving around this morning, scanning the dial, listening to other stations,
we are here
to assuage all of the negativity and crap you've heard previous and bring you in to the best damn radio show in Houston in the afternoons.
No, I'm not. I didn't admit on the air that I didn't know what it meant at the time, but I was talking.
Alone.
I did it today on show.
Then when he said it, were you like, oh yeah, I've had that before?
No, in his ear, I'm like, what does that mean?
I like mine cooked over an open flame.
I asked him, I was like, what? I was like, what's that assuage word mean? He's like, assuage? I'm like, oh yeah, my bad, assuage.
You messed it up.
He's like, yeah, it means to soothe, bro. Get your vocabulary game up.
Wow, step up your vocab game. Polillo does have a good. There are some writers. I was reading a Facebook post that I saw Billy D. Washington reposted or something like that from Fran Blindberry about Kobe.
Really?
And Fran is a very well known, very well respected, and a very good writer.
Long time what? Chronicle?
Chronicle. Post
and then,
too.
And then after he left, NBA.com. Chronicle, and that's right. And then when he left the Chronicle, he went to NBA.com.
He had a great post on his Facebook wall about Kobe. But I realized I don't know Fran Blindberry. I never read the paper. So I didn't, but I realized that Fran has a lot of words that a lot of people don't know, and he likes to flaunt them. Because he was throwing out words in this post that I've never seen on the internet. Like, you don't need to use these words on Facebook to impress anyone. And that's when you know that you're dealing with someone that is either really smart or really just wants to show you how smart they are. I think in the case of Charlie, he uses those words because he's really smart.
He is very smart.
But some writers, I think, use big words because they just want to show you how smart they are. Well, I'm not saying that's the case of Fran because, like I said, he's very well respected. But I just remember reading it, and about every third sentence I'd go, don't know what that word means.
Stephen A. uses a lot of big words when he's on TV, and I give him credit for that because as a writer and he's very well educated, I can see where he has – the thing that to me is when they're forced –
yes.
And there's a lot of people that force the words. One thing that I give him credit for is he's not forcing it. It's just part of his vocabulary, and he works that in when he's talking. But that's why I would think if it was Bob Nightingale and Charlie, you would think that Bob Nightingale would have a pretty good vocabulary because you got to write. Obviously, when you're writing, you have to find several different words with the same meaning when you're writing a certain
column. Correct. And I wonder how many writers do that where they're like, I want to look smart. So I'm going to use this thesaurus and just come up with other words instead of, you know, just writing using what my normal vocabulary is.
Yeah. Hmm. So just getting started today. The worst kept secret in baseball is there's a news conference going to happen at 2:00 today down at Minute Maid.
The toothpick has landed.
Yes. Dusty in the Wind is going to be announced as the manager of your Houston Astros.
Okay.
Dusty Baker will be announced. We also have to talk about the fact that, up there in the Pacific Northwest last night, a huge egg was laid by one Houston Rockets.
It was bad.
Awful. Mm-hmm. So we'll be talking about that. Obviously, we can start talking about the fact that there's a Super Bowl on Sunday and lots of other things. So if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. That's our HRP listener line. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can always hit us up on Twitter where it's at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We are the usual suspects. Just getting started on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting started on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Thursday in the big city, getting ready for Super Bowl Sunday, the weekend ahead of us. And before we get to those events, we get to the events that happened last night, what's happening today at 2:00 at Minute Maid, and in between, we always like to also give you updates.
Well, we kind of broke down the Dusty thing yesterday when it came out. Saying, so now I'm sure
Nick will get us a couple of quotes.
A formality. Oh, you're talking about the 2:00 sound presser.
I'm also interested in his coaching staff.
I thought you meant breaking down the move of bringing in Dusty.
No. I'm interested in his coaching staff for sure. I want to know if Espada stays on. I want to know, obviously, you know, his thoughts on Brent Strom. I'd like to know if any other of the past regimes.
Well, you know, he's probably because he knows him and they were good friends, so probably Abner Doubleday is going to be on there.
Okay.
No?
No.
Okay.
Ty Cobb is not your hitting coach.
You don't think so? You know,
someone's asking if his good friend and the guy that he dealt with controversy with, Barry Bonds, would be involved on the coaching staff.
Oof. I don't think you do that at all.
Why, because his head wouldn't fit through the door?
No, because you don't want to bring in a notorious cheater on a team notorious for
really
cheating.
Really good point, yes.
Why on earth would you do that? Great you point. Might as well bring in Pete Rose to be your third base coach. No way.
Well, he's banned from baseball, otherwise he might.
Wouldn't it be great, though, if that's what you did? You just went out and you're like, all right, A-Rod and Bonds, first and third base coaches, okay? Andy Pettit. You're going to be out in the bullpen. Roger Clemens, you're the pitching coach. Mark McGwire, you're the hitting coach. Sosa, you're just going to be the bench coach. And Yeah, ready, break. All right. Who else? Oh, you could bring back Alex Cora. You could. No, I don't think you go out.
Sammy and working on transition defense or something like that.
You don't go out and get any cheaters, anyone even remotely associated with it. And I don't know that I would believe in Bonds as a hitting coach to begin with.
I mean,
I know he's done it.
Joe Espada, to me, it bothers me that he's so labeled as
he was here
damaged goods.
Sorry,
he was second interview good to be interviewing with the Cubs and the Giants during this offseason.
That's because punishments hadn't been given out yet.
Yeah. Speaking of that, by the way, are we ever going to hear about the Red Sox?
Well, I'm sure they're doing their investigation.
Well, how long is that going to take? A year?
Well, it took quite a while for the Astros investigation.
Well, good Lord.
That news broke during the season, right?
I mean, no. Did it?
Yeah.
No, it was postseason.
When did Fires come out with his comments?
Oh, that was after the season.
Oh, it was?
Yeah,
oh,
so okay. it hasn't been that long.
Are you sure?
I mean, I would hope before they go to spring training we got something. Tired of waiting. And if Cora knew and Cora brought the system to the Red Sox, then I don't want to hear anything about it. I want the Red Sox punished like the Astros. I want draft picks taken away. I want fines levied. We already know that Cora's, you know, not going to be the manager of the Red Sox, but it doesn't matter. I want suspensions just to be as heavy, if not heavier. I want it all coming down so it's not just on the Astros.
I wish that Ken Hoffman wasn't, because I Googled to see when did Mike Fiers break this, when did he talk about it, because I don't remember exactly when it came out. But as I Google Mike Fiers Astros cheaters, one of the articles that pops up under top stories on Culture Map, Ken Hoffman leaps to the defense of the Houston Astros whistleblower. Now, that's just the headline. So now, I could go read the article, and I feel like it would go either way. I feel like, one, the headline would be accurate, and Hoffy is in there defending Mike Fiers. Mm-hmm. But knowing Hoffy and how he is, his defense might be really tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, but
Hey, you know, if anyone's going to know about cheating, it's going to be Mike Fiers. So I'm sure he knew they were cheating because he cheats. And so, you know, it might be a tongue-in-cheek thing. I need to go read the article. But if it is true that Ken Hoffman is leaping to the defense of Mike Fiers, I need to know why.
Oh, I'm sure he'll tell you.
I want to know.
He absolutely will tell you.
Yeah. I got a bone to pick with old Hoffy.
Ooh.
If he's defending Mike Fiers snitching on baseball.
Real bone to pick.
But he was not going to come on because he's a Charlie guy. He's not going to do that.
Yeah, plus he won't put his face on the camera.
That's right.
He doesn't
and that would make him do that. And he's the one that breaks the microphone, so.
So there's that. So 2 o'clock, Dusty Baker is going to be introduced as the new manager on a short-term deal. 1 year with a team option for a second year for the 70-year-old Dusty Baker. So we'll see how that goes. And then the general manager position is still open at this time. I'd like to know about Dusty Baker and analytics. Mm-hmm. I'd like to know who his coaching staff is going to be. The shift. Mm-hmm. I'd like to know if he's going to utilize it because the Astros utilized it just about as much, if not as much or more than anybody. Those are things I want to know. And Barry,
well, and again,
you know what? I want people in the media to ask those questions. We're not there. Someone needs to do this.
I would agree. Do you plan on embracing analytics as a part of coming to the Astros? Do you plan on using the shift? Do you plan on ignoring lefty-righty matchup and just going with what the numbers tell you?
Do your starters plan to pitch 149 pitches a game?
Are you going to blow out everybody's arm? Mm-hmm. If you're Lance McCullers, you look at this and go, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Ugh, he's notorious for ruining arms.
Is the front office selling a toothpick sponsorship?
Are there famous toothpicks? Not famous,
there is
but
a
are there?
Is there a recognized brand for toothpicks? There's one brand of toothpicks.
My dad
used a lot of toothpicks, and I want to say it's like.
Has it got the red diamond on it?
I don't know if it was like Ready Pick or something like that.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Look at it.
I remember back in the day. Do you remember those like cinnamon flavored toothpicks?
Yeah.
That they would be in the little jar?
Or peppermint, yeah.
Yeah, and you would. Yeah, I remember those. But I didn't think there was a name on them. But I didn't realize there was a famous brand of toothpick. That would be interesting to see if he had a deal. I would be, you know, and have it in the dugout behind him or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe they go to like toothpick cam at the stadium and just zoom in on his toothpick.
Diamond? Oh, yeah. It's perfect.
See?
Diamond toothpick.
Is it a red diamond?
No.
But on the box. On the box.
Yeah, box.
But it's red. Okay, it's so pink, it is red.
It's a pinkish red box, and it says diamond toothpick.
See? Okay. That's close.
How great is that for a baseball manager to have a diamond?
I'm telling you, man, it could be. Do you think that people, if they embrace Dusty, they, you know, a lot of people wore beards to the Rockets games, or they wore beards for Keuchel. You think you see a lot of old ass men in the stands with toothpicks to embrace Dusty Baker?
We broker this deal. That's got to be good cash, right?
I feel like it.
I think we're onto something here.
Get
toothpick.
Let's
broker a deal between Diamond Toothpicks and Dusty Baker.
And as based off of what's on the screen, Ken says Dusty wears wristbands. That is true.
Was
this addressed on the Polillo show?
Ken Hoffman wanted Polillo to address it, but he didn't.
He didn't. Well,
not only does he wear wristbands, remember those ones back in the day that the players wore where it was their own likeness, like a cartoon likeness of them?
No.
Oh, yeah. The players used to have their own wristbands where it was like their head and shoulders shot, but it was a cartoon version of it.
He wears those?
He wore them of himself when he was managing.
I've always found it odd that in baseball, it's the only sport where people wear the gear. Where they wear the uniform that the players wear. That is weird to me.
It is.
And I know we've discussed that on this show before, but that's a strange phenomenon.
And yeah, why you don't want to see basketball coaches in a tank top and shorts.
But I don't need to see baseball managers in a baseball uniform with wristbands on. Trust me, you're not going to sweat that much on the way to the mound, Dusty, because you don't visit that much anyways. You wear them out, bro. You don't need – and if some managers will wear cleats. It's like, come on.
Or they wear running shoes, but they try to get the tops to be looking like spikes.
Yeah.
All right, we're just getting started. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. That's our HR&P listener line. We'd love to hear from you. You can call, text, and you can also hit us up on Twitter. It is The Usual Suspects. Back with more ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims. And you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, half hour into the show, and you know how we like to do it, because by the time you get to your post-lunch festivities listening to us, a lot of people have already regurgitated a lot of the stuff that was on your mind as you woke up this morning. So we kind of span the globe. The other thing we like to do is we keep you updated. If we mention something to you about a story or two and some things happen with it, details come out and emerge, we always kind of go back to it. So
yeah, and I do want to say somebody keeps texting us, and they have all week, about this Mike Fiers story.
Oh, yeah.
That supposedly, and there's
is that with a B?
Yes.
Okay.
Supposedly.
Thank you.
He is out there having sex with underage women. I have not seen a lot of proof of that. El Jefe sent me some screen caps of a guy that came out that had proof, including texts between Mike and a 17-year-old girl, but I'm just not seeing a lot of stuff corroborating any of this. Right now I think it's more of a lack of evidence, so I'm not going to comment until I feel like there's better evidence that exists. And this, but obviously this story is not, if it was a bigger deal, trust me, it would be talked about a lot more. But I don't know what to make of what I've seen, so I'm just not going to comment. I did have a joke that I put on Twitter, but that was just one joke, one tweet. I'm not going to go on a radio show and sit here and mull it over when right now it's all he said, she said, and speculation and not a lot of proof. So there's your answer. You can stop texting us about it. I do want to talk about Ari Shaffir, though, for a second.
So refresh the peeps about who he is and what he did, because it was god-awful.
So the day that Kobe Bryant and his helicopter crash and his daughter and everyone on board passed, Ari Shaffir posted a video mere hours later, and if that, and said the following, quote, and I'm quoting Ari Shaffir here, so if you just tuned in, pay attention, but this is not me, this is Ari Shaffir, posting a video to his Twitter and his Instagram that said, quote, Kobe Bryant died 23 years too late today. He got away with rape because all the Hollywood liberals who attack comedy enjoy rooting for the Lakers more than they dislike rape. Big ups to the hero who forgot to gas up his chopper. I hate the Lakers. What a great day. And then he hit him with a hashtag bleep the Lakers. So that he thought was going to be okay.
Classic.
And then I want to point out that he doubled down on his Twitter later on after he started getting some backlash and losing followers 1,000 a minute at one point. He retweeted his original tweet about Kobe Bryant and those words I just read you and said, I was hacked. Obviously being sarcastic, obviously wanting to put it out there again and try to make a joke about how, oh, I didn't say that, I was hacked, even though it was a video. But he was basically just putting it out there again to be funny because he's a comedian. Well, it's not been going well for Ari since he did that. His management company dropped him. His talent company dropped him. And I think it was his agent. And that hits you in the wallet. When your manager drops you, it's not as huge of a deal because your manager doesn't get you paid gigs. They help you navigate financially things you might be doing, whether it's a special. They'll negotiate on your part. But an agent books you gig. So that hits your wallet, and that agency dropped him. He had a show scheduled in New York at a club in New York. The club got so many death threats that he was performing there that they had to cancel the show on a Tuesday. And it's getting to the point now where he's taken his public Twitter account and made it private. So you can't see his just publicly see his tweets anymore, although you can still see his Instagram, where, by the way, he published an apology he basically went out and said the following, quote, every time a beloved celebrity dies, I post some horrible stuff about them. But he didn't say stuff. I've been doing it for years now. I like destroying gods. And right when a famous person dies, they're at their most worshipped. So as a response to all the outpouring of sympathy on social media, I post something vile. It's just a joke. I don't really hate any of the people. And he said he called the routine dark comedy and quoted, moronic, inappropriate post I make for the fans who signed up to see them. Well, first of all, it was a public post, not fans who sign up to see them. Then he went on to say that he posted his videos before he learned children were on board the helicopter that crashed with Brian and eight others. And that fans asked him for a Kobe post when it happened. He said, kids dying like that, it's horrible. All the other people dying, that horrible too. It's horrible he died. Really, really sad. What a terrible thing that has happened.
Too late, buddy.
So I just, as a comedian, and we talked a little bit about this on Monday. I talked about this at my workshop that I do at the Houston Improv on Tuesday. I posted about this on Facebook, and I'm going to say it here. There's nothing wrong with having a little compassion as a comedian. We're also human beings, and I realize you want to make jokes. And I'm going to say this about what Ari Shaffir did. It wasn't a joke. There was no – a joke has a setup and a punchline. And when he said that Kobe died 23 years too late, that he was a rapist, and that the Hollywood liberal media, this, that, and the other, that wasn't a joke. That was an opinion. A joke has a setup and a punchline. There was no setup and punchline in the stuff that he said. It was just mean. And I think he's getting what he deserves. And you will rarely hear me say that about a comedian. Now, had somebody came out and made the lame Kobe joke, oh, look, Kobe finally passed, which was the big joke that all these, quote, comedians I have that are friends were making. Had he done that and the same results happened where he's getting shows canceled, I would defend Ari Shaffir to the death for that. Because it's his right to make that joke. It's his right to make the statement that he made. But just because you have freedom of speech doesn't mean you're free from the consequences of your actions and what you say. And I think him losing gigs and losing management, I'm fine with that. You said what you said, bro. I hope you enjoyed the attention that you got. Had you made a joke, I would have defended it, even if it was a terrible joke. But you didn't make a joke. You made an ass of yourself. And now you're reaping what you sow. And as a fellow comedian, I don't feel sorry for this dude.
I don't either, because the fact of the matter is you know, we always say this, and you actually brought up some of his clips while we were getting ready for the show, and I was like, dude's not funny.
I've never thought he was that funny. I respect what he did as a comedian and how he had, you know, he had certain shows and he did certain things. I've just, he's a guy that has never made me laugh. And that's okay. There are plenty of comedians that are successful that don't make me laugh. That doesn't mean they're not good. It just means it's not my style. And yeah, I'm with you. He just doesn't make me laugh. Yeah. But in this case, it wasn't a joke.
No, it wasn't. And just like we said about the columnist from the Washington Post that decided that that same day was the appropriate day.
Felicia something.
Yeah, to bring back the article with all the charges against Kobe in Colorado was inappropriate. Or all the companies that were trying to capitalize on the fact that he passed away by trying to up the price on all the Kobe shoes and the Kobe gear. And now I see, as of yesterday, that all of the memorabilia places were like out there peddling all the signed Kobe stuff, but at selling it at like 10 times the price. And it's like, you people should all, you should be ashamed of yourself. You obviously have no conscience, so you're not going to be. But you deserve to rot in hell for the fact that you're trying to capitalize on a tragedy to try and make a couple of dollars.
I would argue that even if he did have a setup and punchline. I don't know what you think about this, Barry. Even if he did have a setup and punchline, it still was too soon, right?
Yeah, I don't remember if I talked about this on Monday.
I think you did. I mean, even if it was a joke.
But to me,
Could he have hold off a little bit?
And I had an argument with this comedian out of San Antonio about this, and several other comedians disagreed with me about it, and that's fine. It's an opinion. And I don't expect every comedian to agree with me, or I'm going to agree with every comedian. But I just feel like you can make the jokes. You can make I told this to the workshop on Tuesday. I've heard funny 9/11 jokes. I've heard funny Columbine jokes. I've heard funny rape jokes. I've heard funny abortion jokes. I've heard all those jokes be funny because they were written by really good comedians and done at an appropriate time. I never heard a funny 9/11 joke on the day 9/11 happened. Well, I never heard a funny Columbine joke. But that wasn't the day.
Right. It wasn't that.
It was weeks
that day,
after,
but even
at
still,
a roast.
People thought that it might have been
and
too soon.
And people were like, it's too soon for that. And he got lambasted for it. But I respect what he did because there was a setup and a punchline, and it was at a roast. And there are no rules at a roast. But the fact is, you put this out on social media. You meant it to be mean. It was mean, and now you're seeing the backlash for it. And yeah, if there was a setup and punchline, I would have said too soon. But I would have at least said, listen, he was trying to make a joke, good, bad, or indifferent. It was meant to be a joke. What he did was not a joke to me. And I know a joke when I see one. That wasn't a joke. So, and I told these cats that come to the improv, what's wrong with waiting 48 hours to make your dumb Kobe helicopter joke? What's wrong with giving people 48 hours to process this tragedy? Because everybody does it differently. Just wait 48 hours and then make your joke.
Are you afraid someone's going to get to it first? Probably not going to
exactly,
happen.
Exactly, because if it is, it was an easy joke right to begin with. And my point was, there's nothing wrong with being a comedian and having a little compassion. That's okay to be that way. And you know what? You'll still have the opportunity to make the joke and be prepared, because if it is bad when you make it in 48 hours, you're still going to get backlash for it. You reap what you sow. I don't feel sorry for the dude.
I don't either. All right, there you go. We're rolling through hour number one, 3-hour show. So we've got plenty more to get to. And also, we'd love to hear, you know, what's on your mind. What do you want to get off your chest? What do you want to talk about? 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call that number, text that number. Hit us up on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
CJ will dribble it up. Makes it across midcourt, defended by Rivers. Dribbles on the logo. Right hand dribble, 10 to shoot. Crosses over. Crossover again. He's bumped. Goes with the left hand on the left side of the lane. Pulls up, puts it up, around and out. Dame tips it up, it's no good. And I believe that's a rebound for Damian Lillard on the tip. And if it is, that's a triple-double. It is! Damian Lillard's first career triple-double.
Blazer Radio, I believe. Blazer's obviously geeked and excited about the fact that KPOJ... I believe that's Blazer Radio. Brian Wheeler used to be the voice of the Blazers. Yeah, Brian Wheeler was a longtime voice of the Blazers, and they mutually parted ways because of health concerns, I believe. Wheels has had a lot of issues in the past.
So, it is Rip City Radio 620.
So they got a new play-by-play guy this year I'm not familiar with, but that's Blazers Radio. Blazers get the win last night, late night, if you didn't stay up, against your Rockets. First half was pretty entertaining, fairly close game. Second half, not so much. Lillard hit two shots from the frickin' logo at center court.
Second half, after the first quarter, it wasn't entertaining.
It wasn't bad.
That first quarter was a good first quarter by the Rockets.
Oh, okay. Bro, they got blown out in the second quarter.
41-24, they got blown out in the second quarter.
It was still a 10-point game at the half, right?
Well, yeah, but after you gave up 41 and a quarter, they gave up 71 and a half. That's a garbage output by the Rockets,
look,
man.
We're not in the first 25 games of the season anymore, and we're not at a point where a lot, you know, I think that people are going, it's fool's gold if they think once again this year, the trade deadline and through waiver wire pickups on buyouts, this team could be transformed into another championship contender with everything they need. This team, what really bothers me is you take away 3/5 of their starting lineup and you beat the Jazz in Utah, which is tough to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come back, get those three guys back. And you look that bad?
And add EG to the starting lineup.
Yeah. And by the way, that's another one that really chapped my ass. Because this is the most consistent thing I can say about Eric Gordon is, he is so inconsistent, it's crazy. He's the most consistently inconsistent player the Rockets have.
Yeah.
You can come off of a 50-piece, and you can go 1 of 8 from three?
Put up 8 points.
You think in a way James Harden's like, see, you see why I'm the one shooting all the shots?
No, he can't because he crapped the bed too.
Here's okay, let's just start with, first of all, we'll go back. Since the audio was about Dame Lillard getting his first triple-double of his career, that shocked me to learn that stat. Mm-hmm. I was floored that Damian Lillard has never in his NBA career had a triple-double. As good as this dude is. Wildly disrespected, in my opinion, as good as he is, and I think severely underrated.
But he made a great point after the game in saying the reason why I didn't know that I didn't have one, but I didn't really care, is because I'm not going to be that guy that's out there chasing 3 or 4 rebounds at the end of the game when I know I only have 7.
James!
Well, he kind of, yeah, believe me, for a lot of ways without saying...
What?
Because all game, he and Russ were going at it again. Yeah. Before the game, when they talked to him, he said easily, I believe he called it the edgiest matchup he has in the NBA.
But they did hug afterwards.
But they all game, they were going back and forth.
Oh, yeah. It's on the court. They don't like each other. But he did say that, hey, when it's over, I ain't got no problem with Russ off the court. Just on the court, we are.
Because if you missed it,
we are the same guy, and that's not good. We're not going to get along.
Last game, which the Rockets lost, Russ was down 14 or 15 in the fourth quarter. Russ got an and one. And looked at Dame and said, you can't guard me. And what people missed was Lillard turned around and said, and you don't want to see me in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened when he was with OKC.
And since we're on Russ,
yeah,
can we just talk about the Rockabye Baby?
That's part of what was going on last night again.
He did the Rockabye Baby. And if I'm not mistaken, the last 3 times I have watched the Rockets and Russ is getting it going early in the game, and he hits someone with the Rockabye Baby, it all goes to hell right after that. We need to make a note to watch next time. When does he hit the other team or the opposing player with the Rockabye Baby, and what happens after that? Because I feel like as soon as he does it, bad things happen. I could be wrong, but that's just the feeling.
He did it the whole first half. I mean, first quarter in the first half. But yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Obviously, there's a little bit more behind what was going on last night because there was so much crap being talked and there was, you know, a history between the two of them. But Russ had 39 points.
Yeah.
39, 10, and 6.
And an ill-advised 3-pointer at the wrong time in the game to take it. You know, he didn't do much to get his teammates involved. He only had 6 assists, which is very un-Russ-like. He was getting to the rim a lot. I get it. To me, Russ wasn't the problem last night.
No, not at all. That's basically the point I was making.
I mean, Harden was the issue.
And that's what I get to. 2 of 8 from 3. 5 of 18 from the field. 18 points. This is a continuation. You can blame the thigh injury, whether that's relevant or actually an issue or not, and whatever he sat out for. This is just a continuation of what has been the last week or so of just god-awful play from James Harden.
Well, I was going to say, he's hurt, right? Is this why James Harden looks
so
bad recently?
That's what they've dubbed it as, a thigh injury, right? Or a hamstring injury, right?
Okay, well, then he needs to take some time off because he is a liability on the court. And who would have ever thought that those words would come out of my mouth? But right now, James Harden is a liability on the floor on both sides. Offensively, he looks like he's playing in mud defensively. He is just getting just roasted defensively as dudes get past him to get to the bucket.
Well, it really looks bad for James Harden when he doesn't play well offensively because he doesn't really play the other side of the ball anyway. So when his offense is not up to par, then he looks really bad.
I'll tell you this. You take Rivers and McLemore out of the equation. Both were made six shots. McLemore was 6 of 10. He had 17. Rivers, 6 of 11. He had 17. But they shot a good percentage. You take that percentage out of the equation, the Rockets were just atrocious. House was 2 of 8. Harden was 5 of 18. Gordon was 2 of 10. Tucker was 2 of 7. Russ, even at 16 of 29, makes it respectable. But that's just not going to get it done. And the thing is, as you go back to the Utah game and you say, well, what everybody's saying is wrong with the Rockets, they don't want to criticize those two guys. And obviously, you've been somewhat critical about the fact that whether it's a stinger or not, PJ hasn't been himself, right?
He hasn't. He didn't look good last night.
But overall, the fact that you can take a team full of just your reserves and beat the Utah Jazz at full strength tells me that maybe we're focusing too much on the reserves and not enough about the fact that for whether it's the system or especially the best player on the team who is not doing a whole lot to get other people involved, this team has a bunch of issues.
I heard him say last night, and it's something you've noticed all year, worst scoring bench in the league, Rockets. So don't give the bench a pass. They're the worst scoring bench in the league.
And I've said that over the course of the season.
Do not give that bench a pass.
But you had two guys giving you 34 points.
Great. In this game. But Austin Rivers just decided to finally show up this season in the Utah game,
Barry,
and now.
Barry, come on, man.
Where has Austin Rivers been before now?
My point is that even when he's on the floor, you're asking, well, where's his production? I'm asking, well, when can he touch the ball? Because while he's on the floor, he has to watch James dribble the ball for 19 seconds. Or lately, though Russ has been productive, when Russ gets it, he's doing basically the same thing. He's not looking to pass. You said it himself, 6 assists for a point guard.
Outside of the last couple of games, and I'm looking at Austin Rivers' numbers, he's shooting 33% from three-point range for the year, 41% in the last 10 games. If you're James Harden, are you going to let him shoot?
41% from three, I am.
In the last 10 games, I'm saying for the year, he's shooting 33.
But again,
do you trust Austin Rivers in a big moment to give him the ball to shoot a three?
Okay, Barry, I know you're about the numbers, but what I'm going to tell you is a lot of the times when he gets a three, it's because the shot clock's running down, James either fumbles it or he panics, and then he doesn't want the shot that's going to hurt his shooting percentage, so he dumps it off on somebody else.
So what excuse are you going to make for P.J. Tucker missing corner threes?
Oh, the stinger.
Oh, that's a pretty good one. That's a pretty good one. I just, there's so much blame to go around.
Did you see him last night, by the way? When he missed the one, he started cranking it up. Yeah.
Well,
he's like,
of course, bro.
Oh, that shoulder's killing me.
Of course. If we have a bad segment, I'm
you don't have to do that. You've been doing that anyway.
It's bronchitis, throat, and I'm going to start rubbing it on the way out. Yeah. No, there's plenty of blame to go around on a game like this. I just, right now, James Harden does not look like the superstar that he has.
Right.
He looks like he's playing in mud defensively. His shot is off offensively. And the bottom line is, if James Harden is hurt, sit down. Yeah. Go on the injured list. Take some time off. You're sitting there saying, we don't have time. All you're doing is digging a hole for this team if you're a main component of this team and you're playing like crap. And he is. Take some time off.
Here's the other thing.
Get
We're
better.
Placing blame all over. We started this week by saying Mike D'Antoni's the scapegoat. We thought that he was the guy that was going to get, and he has been getting the majority of the blame, because he's on the final year of his deal. And people are going to say all these things about he's never won. He's never won in the playoffs. He's an offensive-only coach. All these other things. Fair points. But Daryl Morey is going to have to start facing the music, because Daryl Morey puts these teams together. And Daryl Morey continually also puts out assets whenever he's trying to rebuild or redo or make up for whatever has happened with his roster and his team. And he doesn't have any assets anymore. And the assets that he's brought in, whether you want to say that they don't fit the system or for whatever reason it's not working, you're getting to the point now where you're expecting him to try and do a quick fix again, only I'm not sure you have anything to get fixed.
Listen, There is blame at every point in this organization, starting with Tillman Fertitta, starting with then to Daryl Morey, then to Mike D'Antoni. I'm not backing off of Mike D'Antoni. Mm-hmm. I'm not backing off of it.
I'm not saying back off of
it. You look at that first quarter when it was 36-30 after one, and you watch that offense, that wasn't James dribbling out the shot clock. That was them getting to the rack. That was them getting shots transition. Up early. Yeah. That was transition. That was defense that they were playing. Even though they gave up 30 in the half, they still got a lot of buckets in transition because they got steals. They were hustling on defense. The fact that it's not consistently like that, that's on Mike D'Antoni mm-hmm. and the players. The fact that Harden sucks right now, P.J. Tucker's not playing well. If you're hurt, get out. And give the other guys minutes. But, I mean, the bench doesn't score. Nobody D's up on this team.
Well, the only guy that attacks the rim is Russ.
Yeah, and I would love to see how many layups he blows on a nightly basis. Like, there's plenty of blame to go around. By the way, Hassan Whiteside was a beast last night blocking shots. I wouldn't have gone to the rack. He was getting everything.
He threw one of Russ's. And he was getting
everything.
Filthy.
I felt like he had 15 blocks last night. He had five.
Carmelo was a... Was he a plus 14? What was he? Carmelo was a plus 4 and had 6 points, but he had 13 rebounds. He almost doubled the rebounding production of Clint Capella. Sorry, Nick.
No. Don't put that on Capella. Capella's guy is Whiteside. That's PJ Tucker's man. Let's match production there. 5 points and 9 rebounds from your heartbeat.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with Clint not getting boards?
Yeah, Clint's got to get his boards. He leads the team in rebounding.
But what I'm saying is that's PJ Tucker's man. Power forward to power forward. P.J. Tucker got out-rebounded by Carmelo Anthony.
They started the game and even said P.J. Tucker was starting by guarding Whiteside. He's not going to do very well. They said at the minimum it was a 6-inch size difference.
Whiteside got 10 rebounds. Anthony got 13. Capella had 7 and Tucker had 9. So you just lump them all in together. I'm just saying, man, there's something that's not clicking with me in watching P.J. Tucker. I'm not digging it. I don't know what he's not doing or doing, but I'm not seeing the fascination with him. Like you guys are right now.
I suggested installing myself as a head coach, but you guys thought it was a bad idea.
No, you know what? At this point, Nick, I'm down. You can't do any worse. You can't mess up the Rockets any worse right now. I believe it.
Okay. 1 hour of the show in the books. 2 hours still to go. And there's one other factor on Daryl Morey that people are talking about that I might want to kick out there for you guys to comment on because... I'd like to get your thoughts. As we open up hour number two, the Rockets are struggling. The Super Bowl is Sunday. The Astros about to introduce their new manager. And if there's something else that you noticed you want to talk about, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call or text that number. Hit us on Twitter. Second hour next, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.